Thank God. Well, we've been in a series on Wednesday nights called Keep Expecting, and we've been in Hebrews 11, so go ahead and turn there. Hebrews 11. Glory to God. You guys ready? Everybody at Hebrews 11, verse 1. It says there, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Keep reading. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Notice that. By faith we understand that the worlds, the ages, were framed by the word of God. See, by faith it's you understand that that's the truth. By faith, you understand that this universe was framed by the word of God. It's not by faith you understand. See, if you believe God and take Him at His word, now you can actually start to have true understanding. Well, if you shut down God and don't take things by faith, the Bible says your understanding is darkened. It says that over in Romans. Just turn over there real quick. Hold your finger in Hebrews. I believe we're coming back. If not, so either let it go and find it again or hold your finger there. Romans 1. Romans 1, verse 18. Everybody there? It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Notice it says, verse 20, for since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. When people say, there's no proof for God. No, there's proof all around for God. But people shut their minds and start saying, no, that's not God. No, God is nowhere. God has not shown Himself. No, we don't believe it's God. We believe it just happened. And they choose not to believe, even though the Bible says it's clearly seen. It says, being understood by the things that are made. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. See, people are going to say, well, I didn't, you know, somebody needs to prove God to me. And God's going to say, you had no excuse. Because they won't glorify Him as God. They won't see, they won't glorify him as God. They won't glorify and acknowledge that he's made the things they have seen, and they won't acknowledge the part that they do understand. And that if people, once people do that, if their hearts are open to God, God is just. He will make sure people find out about the gospel. But true understanding comes from acknowledging him and acknowledging what we can see and understand what we can see just by creation. It says, although they knew, verse 21, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Darkness comes when we don't acknowledge God, when we don't acknowledge what he's done, when we're not thankful. Our hearts become dark. Our understanding becomes darkened. It shuts the light off. Because if we don't acknowledge and don't act on the light we have, then we're not opening ourselves up to more. Some people are saying, show me, show me, show me. But they're unthankful, they're ungrateful, and they won't acknowledge what God has done. And this is a key to get more light. Acknowledge God and be thankful for where you are and what you have, and more light will come. The place of darkness is ungrateful and unthankful and won't acknowledge what you already clearly see in your life. This is a key to getting more of God, to get more understanding, is to be thankful and acknowledge what you have now. Because there are so many. You got all of you in here. I know you all, to a degree. And I know you know certain things about the Lord and have a reason to be thankful and have a reason to rejoice, and you have things that you know of God. You've heard truths of God. And when there's pressures in this life, the enemy tries to push you away from God, and one of the ways he does that is gets you to be unthankful and for you not to acknowledge what God has already done, and he tries to get you to focus on things you don't know. Well, you could spend the rest of your life focusing on things you don't know. How many things don't you know? Just, you know, open up a web browser and just go to Wikipedia and start poking around. I mean, there's so many things, areas you don't know. I don't know. If you want to focus on what you don't know, sky's the limit. You can always find something you don't know or don't fully understand or is not quite right, and that is the path of darkness. But just like what this passage is saying, although they knew they had God right in front of them, they chose not to acknowledge him as God, and they became dark. There are things in our lives that we know God did. If you're facing something, a trial in life, and the trials of life come to all of us, nobody that will, in what we would call word of faith, well, I shouldn't say nobody. Maybe people are out there preaching it. But I would say Brother Hagin, different people that some of these things have really been emphasized through, did not teach that because you've heard about faith, because you apply some of these things in your life, that you won't have challenges. Nobody, the word does not say that. In fact, it says you will have persecutions in this life, not trials that anything that Jesus has bought and paid for, he's delivered you from them, but that doesn't mean you're not going to have things come at you. The Bible calls us overcomers, that we're more than conquerors. Well, if you're a conqueror, that means you conquered something. What we want is just nothing. I just want to sit here, and I just want to float through the rest of life. I just want it to be completely glass, you know, like water's like glass, and never have anything happen to me. And that's because I'm a Christian and I believe God, so therefore I should never have a trial. That's not Bible. Paul the apostle, who wrote so much of the New Testament, had trial after trial, but the thing is, he called them light afflictions. He overcame them, and he didn't focus on them. But he still had stuff hit. But when those things come, if you start focusing on what you don't know or what you don't have, That leads to darkness because you're focusing on the wrong thing. What we need to focus on is, what do we have? What do we know? Who do we know? What has Jesus done for us? What has he done for us in the past? And that stirs you up to believe, I know he's done this for me in the past. He's done this and he's done this. And if you'll go back and you'll remember, how did you feel when you were facing that trial, when it wasn't done? What did it feel like? And it might have felt a lot like it does now when you're facing something else. The fact that you're just not over it yet. But, you know, it's easy to look back in life and say, well, I got through that. I got through. Okay, that's different. Now I'm here. But if you'll think back before the end was known, you were in the middle of something. And if you'll think back, you didn't know what you know now. It's like you hadn't read the end of the story. You hadn't seen the end of the video. And you were uncertain, but you have to choose to walk in faith right now. Well, if you'll look back on what God has done for you, you'll say, He brought me through this, and I remember what it looked like. And nobody's going to convince me that was a coincidence, because at that point, I did not know. But God came through for me. And it was a lot like this. And you could look back and say, in another situation, I remember when I was here, and I didn't know where this would come from. But yet, bam. God came through. And the more we rehearse that, see, that's focusing on what you do know. I may not know what's going to happen next week, but I can tell you what happened 5 years ago. And I know it's the same God that helped me then is the same God that'll help me in the future. And I may not see the end here, but I know God, and I know it's about to happen. I can't see it. I can't feel it. But I know God. And I know he's helped me here. And I know I felt this way, and I couldn't see, but I chose to trust God, and he came through. And on top of that, I've grown some since then, and I know him more, and I certainly know this isn't the time he's going to start failing me. And I'm not the first person he's going to fail. He has never failed anyone at any time. He's always faithful, 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 and he's not going to fail me now. So I know that, and so I may not know what's coming up, but I do know him, and I know he's faithful, so therefore I have something to be happy about, I have something to rejoice about, and pretty soon this thing is going to be in my rearview mirror, and this is going to be another notch in my belt to say God is faithful. Amen. We focus on him and what he's done. It stirs you up, and everybody has a testimony. We can never say, well, I'm not, I just don't know. God, is there anyone in here? Well, let me put it this way. Anybody that God has done something for in here, can you raise your hand? That you know. Well, number one, if you're saved, you know he saved you. And if you can't think of a single other thing, you can say, thank God I'm going to heaven. I know that. This is going to be over at some point, and worst case, I slide through, and I'm going to go to heaven. I'm going to say, Lord, I'm glad that's over, but here I am. And for eternity, I won't have to deal with this nonsense. But that's worst case. But you can just thank God. Thank God that you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Thank God that, you know, for the loved ones in your life, the goodness that you've had. Thank God that you have a job. If you're working, thank God that you have an income. Thank God that you have a place, that you're not sleeping on the street. Thank God that you had food to eat. There's a whole bunch. Thank God we're all thankful that we came in here with clothes. Thank God we all have clothes on. We're all well clothed. Amen. We all had transportation. You know, there's so many things that we can be thankful for. And then you can be thankful if God, you know, where God came through for you here and here. You can just be thankful for that. Focus on that. And the devil try to get you off. He'll try to go, no, forget it. But what about this? Just see, if he can get you to thinking about in your head, what about now, what about this, and what you don't know, that's where he thrives. And he'll beat you up with it. Because he knows more than you do in the natural. And so he'll try to get you focused on, well, I don't, yeah, fine, fine, fine. This is what I'll try to do. Fine, fine, you see back here, but up here, that's fine. He did it back there. And yeah, you could see how this would happen and that happened. But what about here? What about now? You can't see anything. You can't see that. You can't see that. And he'll try to get you to focus over here. And if you let him focus you over here, it'll lead to darkness because you don't know. And the more you talk about you don't know, you still don't know. And then it makes you depressed that you don't know. And you talk about how you don't know, and yet you still don't know. Because where you're in the dark and bumbling around the dark, you don't lead to light. It's just dark, 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 dark. But the moment you come back to the light, you start saying, yeah, but God. He did this, and he did that, and I know how I felt there, and it might have felt dark, but I focused on him, and he came through, and he brought me through. See, now light, because now he's stirring you up and saying, if he did it here, and I didn't know, he has something here that I don't know. And that, see, that's light, and you're looking at the light giver. You're looking at the word. You're looking at truth, and it brings light to you. Say, this is nothing for him. This is no big deal for him. He's done it here. He's done it here. He can do it here. And the devil will try to go, well, yeah, but you don't know. And you say, shut up. He can do it. He's bigger than that. And he's proved it all through history. And he's a big God. And he's a good God. And you just stay there. You're full of light. You stay full of light. Amen. He's a good God. Praise you, Lord. So let's go back to Hebrews 11. Verse 3 we are reading. It says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and he being dead still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Thank God, we get to walk by faith. I didn't hear one amen. Amen. That's because your flesh probably thinks, I don't want to. It is the way we do it on this earth. If you're a Christian, you came into the family by faith, and it is the way you walk on this earth. There's no getting around it. If you're going to walk with God, you're going to walk in faith. There's no way to walk with God and not walk by faith. Our flesh, granted, wants to get around this. It would rather just, God, okay, I've done it here and here and here. Can you just put it out in front of me? Just show me exactly how it's going to happen so I can just coast and know. You can ask that. It's an unscriptural request, and it's not going to be granted. Because the Bible says here, without faith, it is impossible to please him. Do we want to please him?
Yes.
How many of you would say, I want to please him? Well, then there's going to be faith involved. There's going to be faith. There is not going to be any pleasing God without faith. It's without faith, if you don't have faith, it's impossible. It's not going to happen. And it's not even, well, God's merciful. He doesn't contradict his word. He's merciful, but he also said it's impossible. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. So that means as Christians, as little Christians, as ones that are supposed to be like the Christ, we're walking by faith. There's going to be some faith in our life, and it's going to be daily. If we're going to walk after him, we're going to walk in faith. If we're going to please the Father, we're going to walk in faith. Now, your flesh doesn't like this. Your natural mind doesn't like this. Mine doesn't like it. The natural mind does not like this. It just wants to have it all spelled out and say, just tell me, and then I'll just do that. But that's not the way the kingdom of God operates. Well, just prove it to me. Just show me. Well, there would be no faith involved then, because you wouldn't be believing, you'd be knowing. So just sew it up. Just settle it. You're going to walk in faith. We're going to walk in faith. Today. Tomorrow. Next day. Next week. Next month. Next year. If we're going to walk with God, then we're going to be walking in faith. If we're not, that's as soon as you choose not to walk in faith is when you disconnect from Him. I didn't say you're disowned. I didn't say you're not in the family. But we're not pleasing Him. It doesn't mean He doesn't love us. You know, you parents, have your children ever displeased you even though you still loved them? Yeah? Why? Partly is sometimes you want to do certain things for them, and but you're saying you're not doing what I need you to do. You won't trust me. You won't act on what I'm saying. And you know that's the best for them. That doesn't please you. Does it please you when your kids don't get everything they should get or you would like them to have? Does that please you? It doesn't please God either. And if you know, put it this way, if He's asking us to do something, then you know that's good, right? Well, when He asks us to do something, guess what it's going to take to do it? Faith. But if we choose not to walk in faith, guess what we're choosing not to go after? The good thing that He has provided for us, which means we're settling. That doesn't please Him. It doesn't mean He's super mad at us or anything. It just doesn't please Him. That's not the best. He's saying, child, I have this for you. I've said this. Now trust me. Believe me. And all we have to say is, I think I'll believe Him. I'm going to believe God. I'm going to choose to believe Him. Lord, I choose to believe You. I can't see it. I can't feel it. I can't taste it. But I say, You said it, so I believe it. That pleases Him. He's like, wow, I like that. Because what? You're not going by your head. He knows what we're made of. He knows what's in a man. Jesus walked as a man. He knows what we're up against. And yet He knows we're in a natural body with feelings. He knows we have ears and eyes and nose. And He knows we like to be led by those things. He knows how our brain pulls on us and wants to have a rationalization for everything. He knows that you'd rather see it and hear it rather than believe it, your natural body. But then when you put all that aside and you say, God, I don't care what all that says. I believe You. That pleases Him. That gives Him a warm fuzzy, I believe. He says, that's my daughter. That's my son. They believe me. They're trusting me, and there's nothing in their natural understanding that would cause them to walk this way except that they believe my word. If they were walking by sight, they wouldn't do it, but they believe me. That's faith. That pleases me. And it pleases Him because He knows I can do what I want to do for Him because it enables me, it gives me the right, that faith gives me the right to act on their behalf. Amen. It says in 11:1, which is what we've been focusing on. We'll jump back down. But 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. We said, look at in the Amplified and the God's Word translation, Amplified first says, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Faith is the conviction of the reality of things that we can't detect by our senses. Isn't that what we're saying? Faith. See, when we can't see it, we can't feel it, but it's faith. See, that pleases God because our senses aren't the reason. Our understanding isn't the reason for us walking in a direction. It's faith. Faith is what convicts us that even though we can't see it, can't feel it, it's real because why? God said it, and that's enough for me. Faith is that confirmation. In God's Word translation, it says, faith assures us of things we expect and convinces us of the existence of things we can't see. We cannot see. Faith. Faith convinces us when sight won't convince us, when hearing won't convince us, when you can't feel it, you can't touch it, when you can't understand it, but God's Word says it, or His Spirit has spoken it to our hearts, and when we act on that, we're walking in faith. That convinces us, even though I can't see it, even though I can't understand what's about to happen. I couldn't tell you where it's going to come from. I can't tell you how it's going to happen. I'm convinced it will happen because God said it. And that makes God our Father happy, proud, and enables Him to do what He needs to do. But we started focusing on this last part. We talked about hope. We're going to talk about hope. But faith is like foundation for things that we expect. So why are we expecting this situation to turn out okay even though I can't see? It's because I believe something, so I expect something to happen even though I can't see it happening. I don't know where it's going to come from. I may have seen it happen in the past, but in this situation I can't see it. But because I believe, that causes me to expect even though I can't see. And we started talking about that not seen part. Things that we can't see. Let's go down to verse 7. Start going through this a little bit. There's a whole lot here in this chapter, and we're going to go through some of it. Maybe all of it. Not tonight. But verse 7 says, by faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. So here's an example. Noah. Everybody knows the story of Noah? Anybody not heard of Noah? All of us are old enough. You know, like David Fleming was talking about when he was here, and this is true. There's wasn't it him? Or is it somebody else I'm thinking of? The kids, they haven't heard the Bible stories. So like I'm referring to it, people are like, Noah, who's that? So you have to give a little bit of background. But we all know who Noah was. Noah was told by God to build an ark. And he gave him the plans. God gave him the plans to build an ark because he said, you know, it's going to rain. I mean, Noah, from the accounts, he doesn't know about this stuff. He doesn't, why do I need that big of a boat? And, you know, that's a big undertaking. I mean, if you gave me the plans and said, build that thing, I better have 100 years to build it because I don't know. I mean, how do you do that? I mean, even to figure it out. We have some modern tools, but I don't own any of them that are that big. You're talking about industrial things to build something that big. And he didn't have any of that. I mean, and so he's going to do it. He evidently had a lot of property. He's going to build it on his own land. And there's nothing. Why is he building it? Because God said so. And people are going, you're nuts, pal. You're really weird. And you're still at it. Wow. After 2 months, you're still at it. They come back, and he's still there at 6 months. And he's still there at a year. They go, you know, on a sabbatical, come back, and he's still at it. Kids have, you know, the kids that were around him in the neighborhood grew up. Went off to college, come back, and Noah's still working on the ark. People get married, people have kids and grandkids, and Noah's still working on the ark. Why? Because God told him. So he's clearly, he's believing something that he cannot see. After year after year after year after year after year, he's saying, God told me to do this, and I'm going to do it. And he can't explain it, because there's clearly no evidence for why he's building this ark. Nothing has come, and he doesn't stop. He doesn't change. He just keeps going. He's expecting something. Why is he expecting something? Because he believes something. And that hope, he's expecting stuff. His faith is the evidence of the things he can't see. Read Hebrews 11, 1 again. This is in the same chapter, and you're going to see these things, these different examples. It says, now faith is the substance or the foundation of things expected. It's the evidence of things not seen. Noah doesn't need any more evidence than God told him. That is the evidence. He doesn't have to see the flood. No, he does not know the end of the story. We know it's going to rain and flood the whole world. He doesn't. All he has is God's word. But that's enough evidence for him. That's enough. He has enough confidence in that word that he will spend 100 years building that ark with no rain, at least not rain to that degree. He has no evidence. What's his evidence? He has no physical evidence. What's his evidence? God's word. But he spent 100 years doing it. And most people would say, dude, you're nuts. You missed it. Most Christians would say, you missed it. You're wrong. You can't see it. I know you think this was God, but clearly it's not God. Says who? All he needed was what God said, and he was going toward it. And that was enough for him to keep on and to do the way God gave him a plan. And he was executing according to the plan, and he was evidently expecting to stay that strong over that time. When I say strong, he wasn't depressed. He didn't go off. I mean, there's no indication he went off and just stopped for long periods of time and then finally, you know, stoked himself back up and went, well, if God said, you know, come on, guys, let's get back on it. I feel like God's faithful today, so we're going to go build on the ark. Doesn't say. I mean, he kept on and evidently was strong, evidently was joyful. There was, it was really good. We enjoy those sight and sound plays when we go down to Pennsylvania. And it just, they just do a really good job, and it gives you some visuals. And is it the second one we saw? I think it was the second year they did Noah. And you can order the DVDs, you know, off their website. But it was so neat the way they portrayed it. God or Noah getting up and singing in the morning when he get up and just singing to Jehovah and just worshiping. And this is the way he was before. I mean, even God talked to him, but he would just get up and worship God and just sing, and the, you know, birds around his family, and his family was like that. They were worshipers of God, and the world was ungodly, but they were people that just would worship him. And I believe for Noah to do what he did, I believe that's probably pretty accurate. He was somebody that got up, he just worshiped God and praised God and thanked him, and God spoke to him about building this ark. And all through that time, he tried to tell people, he tried to convince them what was going to happen. No, everybody thought he was nuts. Nobody would listen. Until it started raining. And then it was too late. Got all these animals. I mean, he didn't have to go get them. They came to him. The spirit, people say, oh, how did that happen? The Bible clearly says how it happened. God brought them. Well, that's what happened. You don't think God can lead an animal? Especially back then? Before the flood? You don't think he can pull those animals in? That's what he did. And it says God shut the door. How did he get in there? God shut it. It's not that hard if you actually have faith to believe what happened. It's if you're going to balk at it, well, how did that happen? How did Jesus die on the cross and it was the sacrifice for all sins? How was he born of a virgin? I mean, there's any number of things. You're going to just trip and fall and trip and fall. And at some place, the word of God, we have, the Bible said just what we just read in verse 3, it's by faith that we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. It's by faith you believe. You say, God said it, I believe it, and true understanding comes in. You understand what it's not that hard to understand. It's when this thing starts getting in the way, and especially ungodly people that are deceived, throwing things around that they think they're smart and say, well, what about this and what about this? They're tools of the enemy because they're operating completely over here in the realm of rationalization. And with things they don't understand anyway, can't prove. But it says by faith we understand. So it starts raining. The door is shut. And now people. Now they believe. Well, they don't believe. They see, so they don't have anything to believe. They're like, get us out of here. Well, it's too late. That's the same way it's going to be with Jesus. People right now are rejecting him, saying, no, fairy tales, hocus pocus, whatever, weak religious crutch. But everybody's going to have the chance. God is just. And what we read in Romans, if they deny what they can see now, they're not opening themselves up to more. The people that acknowledge that, God has an avenue to get them the gospel. But they won't, if you won't act on what you already have, people are rejecting it left, right. Well, I don't believe it. Prove it to me. Ignorance. Why doesn't God, if God's God, make him do this right now? He should prove it to me. He's not under any obligation to prove it to you. He's already, if he did anything more, you wouldn't need any faith to believe in him. It's already so obvious. It's like blaring, there is a God, there is a God. I mean, just look at a baby. Look at a baby anything, let alone a human baby. Really, you think that all just happened? Really? You believe that? Really? Just, really. You're convinced. Just look at your hand, boy, just symmetric. Wow, it just happened. Yeah, it's amazing. You believe that? That's more faith than I have. Because it just, I mean, I'm an engineer. You take all these close classes and you're like, it doesn't happen that way. It goes, things just decay. And to think it came into this kind of symmetry and perfection and engineering, really? Wow. And God's going, creation, creation, creation. People are like, nah, there's no God. Nah. So then it's going to be sad, but people walk off the face of the earth every second. They leave. They're leaving. They didn't believe him. So how do we know that when we step off right in the presence of God? How do we know that? By faith. We believe him. And if we're believing that, and that's our eternity, and we say we're solid, then we should be able to, and it puts it in the right light that if God said that, and I'm banking my whole existence on that, that if he said something else, and he said he's going to take care of all my needs, I don't care what it looks like, he's going to do it. Watch, he'll do it. If I can step out into the void of, you know, I believe when I die, I'm just going to step into his hands, then right now I can step into next week not knowing exactly what's going to happen. Because why? I know him. And he'll take care of it. If I'm resting my whole eternity in his hands, the next week's no problem. Next month's no problem. Next year, easy. I already have trusted my whole life. He'll take care of me. He loves me. That, when we do that, God is well pleased. He's saying, that's my daughter. That's my son. That you're on the right track. I can do what I need to do for you. Amen.